Hi, and welcome to Food. I'm Mark Bittman. As always, you can reach out to us at food@markbittman.com. Send us questions, answers, rants, raves, whatever you like. Please subscribe to the podcast, rate us, and tell us what you think, too. Glad to have you here.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Have you ever bought something, owned something that really inspired you to up your game? A tennis racket, a new pair of running shoes, a new piece of cooking equipment that made you just want to cook your brains out? I know that when I first started cooking on induction burners, I just couldn't stop. It was so much fun. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of the features that are available on this car include Dynamic Sky Panorama Glass Roof, Front Row Massaging Seats, you know you want that, available 33-inch all-terrain tires, which you will want when you check out the Multi-Terrain Select. These are really great features, the kind of features that will make you proud and happy to own a Lexus GX. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX. Luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Today's guest really charmed the hell out of me, and Kate too, and not just because he flattered me, although of course that's part of it. He's just clever and fun and funny in kind of the way I like. Sarcastic and teasing to some extent, but in a loving and charming way. And that guest is Dan Adut, and he is a stand-up comic, so you'll hear that. You'll be able to figure that one out pretty quickly. An actor, currently on Netflix's Cobra Kai. From all appearances, an excellent cook, and author of a smart and poignant and, yes, very funny new essay collection, but really a memoir called Undercooked, How I Let Food Become My Life Navigator, and How Maybe That's a Dumb Way to Live. Needless to say, we talk about that. Is it a dumb way to live, though? Kate and I asked him that question, and the results are decidedly mixed. I'll tell you this, though. Dan loves food, maybe more than anybody I've met in a long time, and he's really fun to talk to about it. And everything, really. I can't imagine you won't be charmed by him and hopefully by this podcast with me, Kate, and Dan.
I absolutely want this to be on the record, which is I live in Los Angeles. I'm an actor on a fancy TV show. I'm friends with a lot of famous people. I see famous people all the time in LA because that's what happens in LA. I never get starstruck. I get starstruck off of food people that I love. And Mark Bittman, my man, I am so starstruck right now. I'm telling you.
Okay.
This is not a joke. I swear to God, I don't need my bread because of you. I'm vegan before six because of you.
Are you?
I swear. You, my friend, in my book, you're my favorite food journalist. So this is so exciting for me to be on this podcast.
Well,
Kate, I'm sure you're great too. But Mark, I mean, come for the Mark, stay for the Kate. But this is very exciting for me.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I don't know what we'll do with it. I suppose we have to leave it in, but
he's embarrassed.
I never see famous people when I'm in LA. I don't think I know what famous people look like. That's the problem.
You don't.
Wait, is that Susan Sarandon? And someone would be like, no, it's Julia Roberts.
He can't even pronounce her last name. It's Sarandon. He didn't say Sarandon. It's Sarandon.
Okay. Hey, would you start the show, please?
Okay. I do want to talk about Dance Book, which is a collection of essays called Undercooked. You loved food when you were really little, and you and your dad bonded over food. And when you were nine, your parents took you to a pizza restaurant for your birthday, and you were horrified.
Yes.
Because you just thought it was like absolutely unacceptable to be having pizza on your birthday. And then you turned 11 and your dad took you to Le Cirque for your birthday.
Right.
Where you had caviar, foie gras, and duck confit. Mm-hmm. Was that to make up for the pizza? Maybe. But how did you get to be such a pretentious eater at such a young age?
How did you get such a little prick at such a young age?
Okay, first of all, I did not think this was going to be a gotcha interview. Okay. I became a little prick because, by the way, the next book after this one is called How I Became a Little Prick. I became a little prick because I was a middle child. I had an older brother, younger brother, and they got all the attention. But my dad went to school in Europe and had all these European trappings, and I knew that he loved food a lot. So that was my way of bonding with him in a way that my other brothers couldn't. So I started to get into food. I started to mimic him. I started to eat properly and all that stuff just to kind of get attention from my dad. So it was a coping mechanism. My prickishness was a coping mechanism for not getting attention as a middle child.
We should say that your book is called Undercooked, How I Let Food Become My Life Navigator, and maybe that's a dumb way to live. Then you pretty much go on to make a case for how food being your life navigator isn't such a dumb way to live, but I get it. We should talk about, I mean, it might be hard, but it is interesting, and you make it a pretty big part of the book. When you were 16, your brother's name was Solly, who was older than you, and who obviously you loved, died suddenly of cancer. And that was made more difficult by the fact that your relationship with food, by which you were into, as discussed, and your father, that relationship too, became complicated by the fact that your parents decided to become religious and keep kosher, or at least to keep kosher. I have actually a story about parents and kosherness I can tell. But anyway, how did food tie into your relationship with your dad, both before and after Solly's death? How were things before and how did they change?
Yeah, so my dad and I would go out to restaurants ourselves, like without my mom, without my other brothers. Like, this was our thing. We'd go into Manhattan, you know, and it was exciting. It was like the late 80s, early 90s, you know, Le Al, Anthony Bourdain's restaurant was a hip thing. Mezzaluna, you know, all these cool old school New York restaurants. And it was the only time that I really felt connected to my dad. And then my older brother passed away, and then he and my mom became, you know, super religious, and with religion came kosher laws, and with kosher laws came no more of our dining excursions. So that whole relationship with my dad was fractured. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I started to go rogue. I started to go solo and to get these adventures on my own without him, trying to, you know, fill in the hole of that was left by him kind of going on his journey, and also by my brother not being in my life anymore. And it took me to a lot of weird, crazy, interesting, fun, stupid places. And, you know, that's kind of where all these essays come from, is all these little coping mechanisms that I created in my life because I didn't go to therapy. You know, and the stories are, don't get me wrong, listeners, it's a funny book. It's fun.
I want to quickly say my parents' kosher story, which is my mother grew up kosher. My father did not. My mother's parents called my father a goy, which, if, for those of you who don't know, means a non-Jew, which is funny because he was stricter about everything in his life than my mother was, but whatever. And she's online at the Kosher Butcher on 14th Street with a two-year-old in her arms. That two-year-old was me. And the two-year-old was screaming and fussing and doing what two-year-olds do. And she's online at the Kosher Butcher. And she goes, and this is how she tells the story. She goes, to hell with this. And she walks down the street to Gristiti's or D'Agostino's or whatever it is, buys a piece of meat and goes home and cooks it. And it's thanks to me that my family got to eat shrimp and lobster and pork and the wrong cuts of beef and all of that other stuff. So I was lucky. I was really lucky. And
do you still feel a little bit of guilt in the back of your head when you...
I was two. No.
When you trafe it up?
I almost only trafe it up, to tell you the truth.
Now you guys need to explain what trafe is.
Oh, well, non-kosher food, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Trafe is non-kosher food. It's funny because I grew up pretty kosher and I still remember my first foray into trafe, and it was the worst thing that someone who grew up kosher could have. My dumb friend Dan Steingart and his family took me, and he was like, you're going to love this. It's going to be great. They took me to some restaurant in Chinatown, and we had a raw giant clam. Oofa. Come on. For a beginner should be like calamari, fried shrimp, something easy. A raw
spare ribs.
I still have a tough time with raw clams, to tell you the truth. But man, this thing was, whew, it was like the size of a football.
Dan, you hunt, you eat ravenously. You're a stand-up comic. You're on Cobra Kai, which I still haven't seen, but now I'm gonna watch.
I don't even know what it is. Sorry.
It's when I was a kid, The Karate Kid was one of my favorite movies. So, you know, it's a sequel of The Karate Kid.
Oh,
Mark, you know what The Karate Kid is, right?
Let's start there. Yeah, because I watched it with Kate when she was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ralph Macchio, man.
Woo. Wipe on, wipe off.
Wax on, wax off.
All right.
Wipe on, wipe off was from the bootleg DVD of it.
Did you have to wipe on, wipe off after you waxed on, waxed off? No, I guess not. All right. Wax on, wax off.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You do a lot of things, but you also hunt. And you have a very, very funny essay in the book about how you got your start hunting. The friend of yours, Mo, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it involves a duck. And honestly, reading it is pretty horrifying. But you came back from it. And now, are you an avid hunter? How did this start? How old were you?
So that I was probably 23 when I started hunting. Or when I went hunting for the first time. Because I went hunting the first time and then I didn't go for a while. And then I got back into it. But yeah, that was like, I'd like to, because I know all the listeners are probably, there's a lot of crossover with Michael Pollan fans who listen to you, Mark. So I just want to say, this was before Omnivore's Dilemma that I started to hunt. So, because it wasn't like cool and like hip to hunt back then. It was like, I wanted to do it though, because I was like, you know, I was on this journey to chase that high with my dad. And I was like, well, if I need to be more rebellious than eating pork and shellfish, it's to go and kill an animal. And also as a foodie, it's like, you know, there's nothing more local and seasonal and, you know, grass fed as like a wild animal. So I went with the only person I knew who hunted, which was my buddy from college, Mohamed Al-Humadi. So it was an Arab Muslim and an Iranian Jew getting together to kill duck. And we went duck hunting on Long Island, which was an experience because when you think hunting, you think like, oh, you're going into the middle of the woods. It's going to be quiet. You're away from man and from civilization. But this was like, you, like we were like very close to the LIE. Like you could hear, we were like on a sandbar off of Port Jeff. I mean, it was like you could hear ice cream trucks in the background.
It's funny, when I read that part, I sort of envisioned you in Jamaica Bay near JFK. You know how it's like right near JFK, there's like hundreds of, or at least scores of square miles of like empty, crazy waterway.
Right, like wetlands.
Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. I mean, yeah, there were like tires. There were like abandoned tires next to us where we were hiding. And yeah, so I had never shot a gun before. The first shot of a gun I took was at a duck. And I missed a couple, but eventually I got one. And I was under a Jew from Long Island who doesn't know hunting. All of my hunting experience came from the Nintendo game Duck Hunt. I thought you shoot these things and they die and that's it.
And they jump into the frying pan.
Yeah, that's it. You shoot, they die, and everyone's happy.
Yeah, that game was great.
Yeah. It's not true to life. And I injured this bird and I had to shoot it a couple more times and then it was still alive. And, you know, Mo had to picked up the bird and whipped the head around. And I mean, it was really a traumatizing experience.
Good scene in the book. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but
I mean, he's you doofus, you didn't even kill it.
Yeah, but you know, it set me off on a lifelong journey of hunting, and I've become the first time was tough, but then it got easier and easier, and I love it now. I mean, I love going hunting. I love the camaraderie. I love the food that it gets you. So I don't know. I mean, it all started from my stupid coping mechanisms, and I don't know if it would have been better for me to just go to therapy and not do that stuff, but, you know, it's colored my life.
Doing it anyway. So now when you want to hunt, you, like, go over to the 405 and camp out over
there? Or the Grand Central, depending on
whether you're east or west. So what's wrong with using food as a life navigator? Seem to be doing okay.
What's wrong with it? I think it's led me astray in many ways that it, especially like when it came to relationships, like picking people solely based on food stuff is not smart. And it's tough when you're food obsessed like we are to not think like, oh, well, that should be the number one thing. So yeah, I think, look, it's funny because I think we are in more of a food obsessed world now than we've ever been, where everyone is suddenly, you know, with their smartphones, is suddenly a food blogger, no matter who they are. And it's, everyone just wants to show off where they ate and what they ate. And I'm guilty of that too. I'm not saying like I'm a monk or anything like that, but it's like, just don't forget the plot of like, you're just, it's, you want to get satisfied by a good meal.
We'll be back in just a minute with more from Dana Dute.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Have you ever bought something, owned something that really inspired you to up your game? A tennis racket, a new pair of running shoes, a new piece of cooking equipment that made you just want to cook your brains out? I know that when I first started cooking on induction burners, I just couldn't stop. It was so much fun. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of the features that are available on this car include Dynamic Sky Panorama Glass Roof, Front Row Massaging Seats, you know you want that, available 33-inch all-terrain tires, which you will want when you check out the Multi-Terrain Select. These are really great features, the kind of features that will make you proud and happy to own a Lexus GX. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX, luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Hi, folks. We have a new sponsor and an interesting one. We all take about 20,000 breaths a day, and Americans spend about 90% of our time indoors. That indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. And indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So, what's the solution? Introducing Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code BITMAN, B-I-T-T-M-A-N, and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to our listeners, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's AirDoctorPro.com and use the promo code BITMAN.
This is interesting to ask you because you are someone who has had access to the best restaurants in the world. You still have the access if you want it. You can get into any restaurant you want. I'm sure they ask you to come to the restaurants everywhere. And I'm guessing that you probably just go to one or two places as a regular and that's what you keep it at. Right or wrong?
Well, you're wrong that I get asked to go to restaurants. And I don't get asked to go to restaurants, or at least not very often. But it doesn't matter because just as the years have gone by, I have gone to fewer and fewer places. And I really just, most of the time, I just want to cook. So I think it really changed during COVID when I lost the habit of going out. Even once a week, I lost the habit of that. And also my cooking got better. Like when cooking twice a day, 7 days a week for a year and a half or whatever that first thing was. And the kids were living with us for a while. And man, we were just cooking up a storm. I think I don't know why I think I got better at it, but I do think I got better at it. And now I, you know, modesty aside, there's not many restaurants that I'd rather eat in than have me cook. But there was a period when I was living in New York or going to New York going to the city all the time. And I would only go to a couple restaurants unless someone forced me to go somewhere else. It's really true that I had the same place, just went to the same places all the time. Because that's ultimately, I think, I mean, some people like restaurant hopping, obviously, but most of us want like a neighborhood place where we feel comfortable and the food's pretty good.
But I feel like you get to that. Most people who like you or I or Kate, I'm assuming you're also a restaurant addict or at least a recovering one. I feel like that is the natural end of it because it's kind of like I've been to the mountaintop and I've seen it all. And now all I want is A, what I can't make at home, like you said, or B, like where I'm treated nicely. And it's more about the community and the, you know, the hug when you walk into the restaurant, the free glass of champagne when you sit down, you know, like that to me is worth so much more than like, oh, you got to try this new place. You have to stand online for 3 hours and don't make eye contact with the chef and you have to eat your ramen in 3 minutes or less or they're going to kick you out. It's like,
yeah,
that stuff I don't do. But even the fancy things, I sort of feel there's a little bit of been there, done that, and a little bit of, well, now everybody does it. So what's the point of, you know, you're not special if you do it. And
oh, yeah. I mean, fine dining fatigue, man. I have such fine dining fatigue. It's like, mind you, some of the best meals I've had are, you know, I can point to like, you know, a Blue Hill meal from back in the day. But like,
oh God, don't.
What does Mark? Do you hate it or you love it?
I went to Blue Hill before Blue Hill was at Stone Barns. We went to the one on Waverly Place. Me, Doc Willoughby, who at the time was executive editor of Gourmet, and Chris Kimball, who founded Cooks Illustrated, and with whom I worked for many years. Doc worked at Cooks, and I worked at Cooks, and Chris had founded Cooks, and we were pals. This was probably, let me say, 2005. I don't know. Anyway, we go.
Kills us. Great.
We go to Blue Hill, and the waiter brings out a butternut squash. It's not just any butternut squash. The chef has brought this butternut squash down from the farm today, and he's going to cook it for you. And I'm like, great.
Oh, God.
Awesome. Fucking awesome. So 40 minutes go by or whatever. And the guy brings out a butternut squash, and he serves it to us. It doesn't even have salt on it. It has nothing on it. It's like you're supposed to enjoy the pure flavor of the butternut squash. So we were just, I'm sure we were rude as fuck. I mean, we were cracking. But, you know, that was nothing compared to two things I had at Stone Barns. One was, you know, they brought out the goose. Were you ever at Stone Barns where they brought out the goose?
No,
they bring out a goose, not a dead one, in like a baby carriage or, you know, a kind of whatever you call the things they use for service that are on wheels, like a trolley.
A baby carriage.
But it's like baby carriage. The goose is lying down dead like this, you know, the way birds
like
look.
In Moses's basket.
And, you know, the guy is petting the goose. And it's like, you're going to have this goose's liver. So we're like, okay, that's great. So we have some foie gras. Then they bring out this tree, like a little, like a menorah, but it's branch of a tree with like branches, twigs. And on each thing is a piece of kale. And you like pick the leaves of the kale off the tree and you eat them. I think the capper was... We had the beet dish that was unbelievable. I think it was like a simple beet salad, but it's like really good. The beets are obviously from there or somewhere nearby and super, super perfect. And then they bring out a beet pizza or some other beet dish And the server explains that this is a kind of beat that Stone Barns has bred to take out the earthy flavor of the beat, because a lot of people don't like the earthy flavor of beats. So this is beats that don't taste like beats. And I mean, it doesn't even matter where it was good or bad. It wasn't very good, but the idea was so offensive. It's like, we've bred this lemon so that it doesn't have any acidity in it because people don't really like acidity,
right?
You know, or we made this coffee that's not bitter because who wants bitterness in their life?
Right. We've perfected what God made. we can take what God made and make it better.
So, like, I don't know, of all the ridiculous experiences I had at those kinds of restaurants, you know, ants on the plate and all that kind of stupid stuff, somehow Stone Barns rubbed me the wrongest of the wrong. But it also could have been I was over it. I mean, it could well have just been I was over.
That's what I was going to say. I think when I went there,
not
it was
your
like,
fault.
I get it. I was like on the ascent of like, I want to be the most pretentious foodie ever. And that to me was like, I mean, it was Mount Pretentious, that place. And I loved it. I mean, I went with a buddy of mine who was a sommelier, and they were trying to recruit him. So they brought out all the stops. I'm sure they did for you too. But I just remember being like, and it's just like you're in you walk around the farm before you go eat, and look at these pigs. They do Pilates every morning. we massage these goats so that they're. I mean, it's just like it was so good. I loved all the bullshit. Yeah,
now
I mean,
wouldn't have the patience for it.
No,
I don't have the patience for it.
I have like one yakitori joint that I go to. That's like my that's like my regular joint now.
Congratulations,
nice,
you're Mark. You're
yeah.
You're 74-year-old Jewish man.
I'm 100%.
73. We do have to ask you our last question.
Oh no, guys.
Well, we can. So
will you take us
hunting? Stay on. So our last question is always, what did you have for dinner last night?
What did I have for dinner last night?
It better be really good.
Okay, so here's what I did for dinner last night.
Elk or trafe or...
I had a raw elk tartare that I washed down with a...
I ate it warm.
I ate it warm while I stared at a picture of the beast that I felled. No, you know what I... So last night I had a show. I had a stand-up show at like... 10:30 p.m. and I was so exhausted. It was the last thing I wanted to do. And I don't normally eat before shows, but the show was so late. So I made my little ghetto salad niçoise, which is just a handful of arugula, a hard-boiled egg, a handful of fingerling potatoes. It was a tonino. Do you guys know about tonino tuna? Ooh, baby. Mm-hmm.
Red and yellow label. Yeah.
Ventresca. No, I got the red label stuff. The Ventresca. Okay. This is the VIP stuff. All right. You got to buy it out of someone's trunk of his car. It's not a
Johnny Walker.
It's not safe. It is. But it's awesome tuna. And then, and some like olives I threw in there. And then I had a little green goddess dressing. Nothing exciting. But delicious. And then I went and did my show. And then on the way home at midnight, I was walking back because I live close to the Laugh Factory. I stopped in at my regular joint, which we were just saying, like regular spots. That's where you go, which is this restaurant called Horses, which is the hot new restaurant in LA, but it's down the block from me and they're very nice to me. So I can go in whenever I want. I sit down. I had a nice glass of Oregon Pinot Noir. And then I headed home.
Dan?
Yes, Kate?
Can we adopt you? Will you be my brother?
Yeah, let's do it.
Won't that be fun?
Did you find out if you're exactly the same age yet?
What's your birthday?
March 29th.
I'm January 17th. We're 2 months apart.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You don't have any sisters. Whoa. I've got one. So now you have two.
I would love to have a sister.
There you go.
All right.
Bye, sis.
Bye.
Bye, Dad. Wait, that makes me my dad. Bye, Dad.
Why not? Thanks, Dan. That was great.
Take care.
Thank you,
Dan. See you again.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is one of those podcasts that went on long after we pressed the record button to stop. And really fun. Really fun. I hope you had as much fun as we did. Thanks to my newly adopted son, Dan, and his book, Undercooked, is out now. You can follow him on Instagram and Twitter at StandUpDan. That's all one word, StandUpDan. Thanks to Davis Lloyd, as always, our engineer, and to Kate, our producer and co-host. If you want more from us, visit bitmanproject.com, where Holly just wrote about sea couterie. Same as charcuterie, but with fish. What's better than that? Anyway, thank you for listening. Again, please subscribe to the podcast. Check out the Bitman Project at bitmanproject.com. And we will see you next week when we will have somebody amazing. Thanks again. Bye for now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.